Scripture reading will be from Mark chapter 10, verses 28 to 31. Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
I know from traveling overseas and other places, the scriptures that was read to us just now by Donald, I've literally encountered, because Jesus is the way to a better life, both spiritually and physically. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't have problems. We will. That doesn't mean that we won't be troubled. We will. But Jesus is the way to a better life. Do you have problems? Do you think sometimes you take one step forward and two steps back? You seem to, the harder you work, the more behind you often get. Do you feel lost and without a sense of value in this world? If you do, the world is a lot like that. You know, Job mentioned in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and he fades away. He flees like a shadow and he does not continue. Our life is but a vapor in James 4 and verse 14. We only have one encounter in this life, and Jesus is the better way. He's not a better way. He is the better way. What kind of life is Jesus talking about? If you look with me in John chapter 11, that doesn't mean we'll have a life that doesn't have any trouble. Because Jesus himself encountered trouble while he lived here. Notice in verse 33 of John chapter 11, talking about Lazarus. You remember he had died. And Jesus, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But notice in verse 33, the latter part of the verse, it says he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled. So being troubled is not a sin. Notice in chapter 12, it's recorded for us in verse 27 concerning Jesus. He was troubled. He said, "Now my soul is troubled." Let's continue on. In John chapter 13, notice in verse 21, it says, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit. How could he be a better way if he himself were troubled? Now look with me in John 14, beginning in verse 1, as he's speaking to his apostles. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." It mentioned in chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, where Jesus was troubled himself. What do you mean, Lord? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, we will have troubles in our life. Jesus had trouble. We will have trouble, but it's still the best life that we can have. He says here in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. How can we be blessed physically? We know we're blessed spiritually. Can we be blessed physically? You just saw video of what, as you have brothers and sisters in Christ, how you can be blessed being together. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, those of like precious faith, that we can be together. And as Donald read in Mark chapter 10 and verse 28 beginning, I'll read it again. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, we've left it all to follow you. Now, I've never known of anyone in the United States that left it all like Peter is talking about. Apostles that go on journeys for years. And Peter says, we left it all to follow you. And Jesus said to Peter, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, our brothers, our sister, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. He's talking about we not only have spiritual blessings in Jesus, but what about physical? Being with your brethren, being in their houses, having brothers and sisters in Christ, mother and children and lands, and persecution, and with age to come, eternal life. And once you travel, you'll see this come to life. This coming Friday, we've been contacted, we've invited this family to lodge with us. They're coming from Idaho. Larry and Stephanie Jones and their family. South Coleman helps in their support. So they're traveling. We're planning to be at the singing Friday night. So that's what he's talking about here. Your name won't be on a deed of land, but you'll inherit. It says, brothers and sisters, you'll inherit them. Jesus is a better way, even in our physical lives. You'll inherit brothers and sisters, father and mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake. You'll inherit houses. You'll be able to lodge with brethren. You'll be able to be with them. That's physically. And by the way, Sunday I start a gospel meeting in Crossville up on Sand Mountain. Well, Larry Jones said, well, we're going to go to South Coleman Sunday morning, and then we'll be leaving, headed back towards St. Louis. And so what I'll do is I'll say, make sure you just close the door on your way out, because we have to leave before he leaves. We've had that happen more than once to us. And brethren, I remember one time we were in Idaho, and this brother said, we were lodging with him. He said, by the way, we're leaving tomorrow, going somewhere. They'd going on a trip. He said, just make sure the door's locked when you leave. 2 days later, that's what he's talking about. 100-fold. Jesus is the better way. And see, if you turn to 1 John chapter 3, in 1 John chapter 3, let's begin in verse 17. I'll use the New King James Version. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 17 beginning, Jesus said, well, notice verse 16, by this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I've never had been encountered with that kind of danger. But these brethren were. It'd be like a Roman soldier taking a sword and putting it to your throat and telling you, tell me where those Christians are meeting Sunday. If you don't, I'll cut your throat. What would you do? What would you do? If Jesus laid down our lives for us, what should we do for our brethren? I pray that we never have that experience. Verse 17, and whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you see someone in need, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, before God. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Jesus is the way to a better life. And you know, I have to make sure I look at myself. A preacher or a teacher will get up and teach. Teach this word. And then, how many of us put it in practice? We hear it. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm talking primarily to myself. In James chapter 1. He says in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Well, we hear the word taught. We hear a preacher preach. We hear a Bible class teacher teach God's word. And we're hearers of the word. But how many of us are doers of the word? Notice what he says. We are hearers of the word, but hearers only. Not to be that. We're deceiving ourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. You look and you see your face in a mirror. I imagine every one of us that's here this morning have looked in a mirror this morning at ourselves. We look at it in a mirror. We observe ourselves. Then we go away and we immediately forget. You know, here you are, you're here. And over here, you're a doer. And then there's a gap between. We hear it, but do we practice it? Are we hearers only? Jesus is a way to a better life to those who does his will. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He came from the glories of heaven. He gave that up. He was being glorified in heaven. We know he was because in John 17 and verse 5, he prayed as he prayed to the Father shortly before his crucifixion. He said, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. So Jesus is talking to the Father. He said, glorify me with the glory I had with you. He was being glorified in heaven, and he gave that up for us. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. An example is what Donald read to us in Mark 10. We had this brother, I was in a picture with him, he's an older brother, and I said his name is Andreas. You may have noticed that. Well, Andreas had to have emergency surgery. Now, the situation when you go to a third world country, they don't have what we have. You've seen their oven. They had a fire above it. They didn't have a thermostat. They had a fire above it and fire below it. That was, their thermostat was putting an extra piece of wood on the fire. And so some of us as individuals, we helped him with the surgery. He would have been dead a long time ago. We were down there once and we was over at his house, and he said, Alton, he said, why would an American help a poor Belizean? And I said, you're my brother. That's what we have in Christ. And he was just so sincere, he was startled. Why would an American help a poor Belizean? It's because we're in Christ. Christ corrects misconceptions of what a better life is. We've just talked about that. The world thinks that a better life is the stuff of the world. Do you remember, as Donald read the last part of Mark chapter 10, verse 31, notice what Jesus is saying. And notice what he says in Mark 10 in the latter part. He said, many who are first will be last. You know, people of the world, they think, get all of this world that you can, and they may be first in riches. They may be first in power, prestige. But when you die, you'll be last. That's all given up. Those that'll be first. Notice what he said. Notice what he says here. He said, you'll have persecutions from verse 30, and in the age to come, what will you have? Eternal life. He's talking about on the other side. Notice he said, but many who are first, you first have all this stuff in this country, you first have all this in your individual life, you'll be last, and the last will be first. You see, what really matters to have a better life in Jesus is Jesus, both spiritually and physically. And if you don't have Jesus, you'll be last. Whether you have all this world's good and you think of being first, you'll be last. If you will, turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, notice what he says here in verse 15. This is talking about the coming of, I think of it as the judgment, the coming of Christ. Some think it's AD 70, but it sure fits. In verse 15, and the kings of the earth, this is talking about Jesus coming. And it's going to be announced, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet will sound. It will be announced of his coming. And what will happen? The kings of the earth, those that are not ready to die, the great men, the rich men, those that think of themselves as being first on the earth, they'll be last. Notice, it says the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That Lamb is talking about Jesus. For the great day of wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Those that seeking after everything of this world, you can't take it with you. 1 John 3 and verse 17, whoever has this world's good, and we see someone. Now those brethren, I'm not saying at all they're in need in Belize at all. They have their situation, but there's times. And most people think that the better life is pleasure, material prosperity, popularity. But Jesus corrects us on that misconception. Why so many people in the United States unhappy? I'm a Vietnam veteran. There's over 58,000 men and women killed in Vietnam. But did you know the news said there were more people of veterans of Vietnam who have committed suicide than died in the war? Why? Why do millionaires commit suicide? Why do they do that? Why do these famous singers sometimes commit suicide? Why are they unhappy? Stuff will not do. Stuff is not the way to become happy. What about Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 2? He coveted Naboth's garden. He thought, if I could just get that. He had it. What does he need that garden for? What about 2 Samuel 13 and verse 15? You remember Amnon. He forced his half-sister in a sexual affair with her. He thought if I could just have that, I would be happy. And it taught after he did this great sin, it said he hated her more than he had loved. The thing that makes us happy is Jesus. It's a way to a better life. And Jesus corrects that misconception we have. Jesus is a way to a better marriage. Did you know more divorces are taking place? Over half the marriages end in divorce. Jesus is a better way to a marriage. Jesus is the bridegroom and we're his bride, the church. In Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, it talks about, notice if you look in that, in the context of what he's talking about. In Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says in verse 22, wives, you should be submissive to your own husband. And today that's not popular. Why? Because, look in verse 32, really and truly, Paul is teaching concerning the church. Wives, you be submissive. Church, you be submissive to the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. Then verse 32, this is a great mystery. All these verses that Paul is teaching here, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, God developed marriage in Genesis 2, 18 through 24. It's the first divine institution that God instituted, and it took place before sin came into the world, and that was marriage. Why? God is exposing man to the concept of marriage, husband and wife. It would make it easier because, see, angels do not marry. Angels are not given in marriage. So the angels of heaven wouldn't understand the concept of marriage when God created the heavens and the earth. So God instituted marriage. Why? Because Jesus is our bridegroom and the church is his bride. And it's a better way of life. And so God started this in Genesis chapter 2, and throughout all the Bible, we can now understand the concept of marriage. And now we can understand why verse 32 of Ephesians 5, Paul said, I'm telling you a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Once you understand the concept of marriage, you can understand the better way. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it. Wives, you submit to your own husbands. He continues on. Jesus is the better way to a better marriage. I was telling some, Don and I have been married 48 years, 24 years before the turn of the century, 24 years after the turn of the century, and she was 24 when we married. And Dwayne Derrick is the one that performed the marriage. It wasn't but about a month after we were married. And if somebody tells you they've never had any bumps in the road, they'll feel about something else. You're going to have disagreements. So about a month after Don and I married, we were getting ready for bed. And Dinah said to Halton, let's never go to sleep angry with each other. Doesn't God teach us not to let the sun go down on our wrath? Well, over those 48 years, I've eaten a lot of crow. But we've never went to sleep angry with each other because I don't need to next morning. Well, was I angry with Dinah last night when I... No. You get rid of it. You don't let it dwell within you. So Jesus is the better way to a marriage. He teaches us what to do. Thirdly, Jesus is a better way to have a better home. Parents, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I pondered on that word, it, it. It's not a personal pronoun. It's referring back, my thoughts is, to the training. If you train up a child in the way that child should go, he will not depart from it. I quit the Lord 8 years, but I couldn't eliminate the training that my parents taught me, that I learned here at Beulah from other brethren. I could not depart from it. When I would do wrong, I knew. So if you train up your child in the way that child should go, and when that child is old, they can't get that training out of their mind even if they quit the Lord. They will not depart from it. In Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions. In Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, have a better home is through Jesus. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment. From Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. I remember our daughter, our son-in-law is a gospel preacher up in Florence, but she was in junior high school at West Point. And one afternoon she came in and she was so excited. She was seventh or eighth grade somewhere. And she said, I found a $20 bill laying on the ground at school today. And her mother looked at her. She said, you know what you must do? So Dinah told her, you go to the phone and you call Miss Eddie. And she did. And she told her what happened. And Miss Eddie said, okay, Melissa. Said, in 30 days, if it hasn't been claimed, it'll be your $20 bill. So the very next day, Miss Eddie said, a little girl came and said, I lost $20 yesterday. And she said, here it is. Now that was the right thing to do. Jesus is the way to a better home. Another thought, Jesus is the way to better worship. Jesus in John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is spirit, and those of us that worship him must worship, as Jan taught in Bible class this morning, we must worship in spirit and in truth, and not let that enthusiasm, that focus on your mind, escape you. In Matthew chapter 15 and verses 8 and 9, the New King James Version, Jesus said, these people, they draw near me with the mouth, and we have to be careful. As Jan was teaching us about the Ephesian church, Jesus said in Revelation 2, they'd left their what? First love? Oh, they may honor you, and notice what Jesus said. They draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Jesus is the way to a better worship. Jesus has given us that better way. What does Jesus expect of those who call him Lord in Matthew 7 verse 21? To do his will. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And notice what it says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7 as Jesus is teaching the lesson on the Sermon on the Mount. And notice what it says. Many will say to me on that day, I think it's referring to the judgment day. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me who practice lawlessness. Who is an example that could actually perform miracles? Judas. Judas. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 1, in that context, Judas was the one. How would you like to be Judas at the judgment? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Questions to stimulate our thinking. What did Jesus say should be preached in his name to all nations? That he is the way, the truth, and the life. It needs to be taught. Not only in our homes, but in all the nations of the earth, everywhere. We'll go down the road and you may see someone, and Don and I will make mention, well, every one of them has a soul. Every one of them. It crosses my mind of how blessed we are to hear this right here taught to us. To have it in our language. To have it where we can read it and we can understand it. And have good brethren like you. If I don't understand the scripture, you can explain it to me. How blessed we are, because Jesus is the way to a better life. If you're this morning and you're not a Christian, the better life is in Jesus. He tells us what we must do to become saved. He tells us, and you know, I like what we do in the United States. When I go internationally, they never have the invitation song. They just say thank you and sit down. But I like to invite someone. It's the Lord doing the inviting, not me. I'm just saying the words. His invitation is open to everyone that has a need. If you have a need of the gospel in any way this morning, we bid you to come as we stand and sing.